We have to tell the truth as we come in the streets, neighbors. The American Jesus cannot save anyone. The Roman Catholic evangelical Jesus is not going to save anyone. The blue-eyed, long-haired Jesus of the culture is not going to save anyone. You got to be transformed, and you got to know this biblical Savior. How do you know the biblical Savior? You know the biblical Savior by walking in His Word and His ways. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." Are you following the path, the narrow path? Are you following Christ in spirit and truth, neighbor? Do you know what the Holy Scriptures say? Do you know judgment is close at hand? Do you know that time is short and tribulation is coming? If you think COVID was something in the lockdowns, wait until the Antichrist rises, neighbor. It's coming. The world's being set up for the great, great deception and the great tribulation that's coming. But Christ is going to rule the day. He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. You got to figure out, are you a sheep of God, have come out of the world, or are you a goat of the world? Test yourself, man. We love you. Seek after Christ in spirit and truth. Holy is the Lamb of God. He's worthy to be praised and lifted up. Don't squander the truth of God. It's more precious than pearls and riches and gold. Seek it. Adore the Word of God and the one who came and shed His blood for you. Nothing more precious than the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing more precious than the resurrection that defeats death. The blood cleanses all sin, but not just through belief, neighbor. You don't believe your way to heaven. By faith, you must come and repent because of Jesus' shed blood and His resurrection. Are you willing to lose your life in repentance to come out of the world in every false way? Are you willing to surrender yourself? Cleanse yourself of all idols. Cleanse yourself of all unrighteousness. Cleanse yourself by the blood of the Lamb. 1 John 1:7 says, "If we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us." You got to walk in the light to be cleansed. That's an amazing thing, neighbors. You got to walk in the light to be cleansed. You got to be living the truth. How can you live the truth of Jesus if you don't know the truth? Don't walk in the dark, sir. Walk in the light. Christ is the light. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He's also the light. And Jesus told us to go into the world to be salt and to be light. Let's talk about that. Salt preserves. Salt preserves the truth of God. And what does light do? Light points the way. Light shows the way to eternal life. Excuse me, man. Light tells the truth. Go ahead, brother. Your turn.
By faith you must come to Jesus Christ. It's a very narrow path. Very few are willing to lose their life for Christ. But neighbor, it's not an easy believe gospel. You can't just believe and go to heaven. Even the devils believe and tremble, it says in the scriptures. You must repent. Come out of the world. James 4:4 says, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. You have to lose your life to find it in Christ. Otherwise, you have no hope. But if you're willing to do that, neighbor, the Lord will give you His Holy Spirit. You can do it again. You'll come out of the world. Be set apart from the world. You'll be different from the world. You'll look different. You'll act different. You'll associate different. The Lord will separate you for Himself. He came to bring a sword to divide. And the fruit that you know God and He knows you, neighbor, is holiness and obedience to the Word of God, who is Jesus Christ, John 1. Jesus says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Jesus also said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The Lord is the Word. The live in you? Is his word conforming you to the image of his son? It says in Romans. Jesus Christ is the only way. You must come out of the world and repent.
Test yourself to the word of God. The trolleys. Yeah, the trolleys are awesome. We'll head back down this way. Jesus said no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. That means you're spiritually born again. And you have eyes to see and ears to hear. And when that happens, a glorious thing happens. You get a new heart. You get a new mind. You're transformed by the power of God. And light. And light has come into the world. But men love darkness rather than the light, John 3:19-21, because the light reproves them. And the light reproves them because they love their sin. But if you'll repent, you can be cleansed. You can be made new. Don't trample the blood of Jesus just believing and living worldly and in churchianity. Turn. Repent. Forsake this life. Forsake your sin. Forsake worldliness. Forsake every false way. The Bible says, forsake your sin and live. Live in your sin and die. The second death. Look up the second death. It's in the book of Revelation. You're going to die physically once. Then there's a spiritual death that's coming. Jesus talks about it in the book of Revelation. You can be spared from the second death if you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, and love not this life unto death. Preaching Christ in the streets, loving our neighbors, standing against darkness and evil for the glory of God. As we come to these tourist places, we like to ask people, why did you wake up this morning and what's your purpose and goal this morning? Hey, I woke up because I'm going to watch TV. I woke up because I'm going to go entertain myself. I woke up because I'm going to smoke or drink. I woke up because I got to catch up on politics. I used to be that. If you wake up with anything other than serving God, you're an idolater, neighbor. We don't want you to be an idolater. We want you to be safe in Christ, which means you're living, serving, walking, obeying, knowing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Okay. Jesus didn't die so you could live a worldly life. Jesus died to call people to himself, a peculiar people of goodness, truth, and righteousness, a glorious God, the one true God.
So you have to place your faith in what the Lord did. Do you know who Jesus Christ is?
I sure do.
Awesome. Well, Jesus Christ came because all men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So right. We've all sinned at one point in our life. We need a perfect Savior because God is a holy God. So he sent Jesus Christ, he sent himself to live a perfect life, die a perfect death.
I like you said that he sent himself. I like that.
Yeah, sent himself. Right? 3 days, 3 nights in the grave, he rose again. He's alive today. Yeah. He's coming back in flaming fire to destroy all those who know not God and don't obey the gospel. But you have hope if you repent. Yeah. Hey, the Lord said.
I actually love the cameras on there too, bro.
Yeah, the Lord said, repent. Come out of the world, come out of man-made traditions. Yeah. Follow him in spirit and truth. If you're willing to do that, if you're willing to lose your life to find it in Christ, lose your life in this world, he'll give you his Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You'll have peace and joy. You'll be separated from the world. The Lord said he came to bring a sword to divide, to call to himself a peculiar people. So you'll be separate from your family, your friends, everyone who doesn't obey the gospel. You'll come out of the world.
Yeah.
And the fruit that you know God and he knows you, holiness and obedience to the word of God, who is Jesus Christ. John 1.
See, this is my fault with heaven, okay? Because when you go to heaven, you no longer love your loved ones and the people you knew in life. Why do I want to go to a place I don't know nobody? Why can't I go to a place I love my people? That's in the Bible. When you go there, you will not know the people you know there. You will not be with your loved ones.
Well, sir, is that idolatry? We're supposed to love God first. First commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and spirit.
It is. And my wife's a firm believer, but I'm a firm believer in the world we live in, and I don't see no God.
You don't see no God?
I don't see no God in the world we live in, brother.
Are you an atheist?
Actually, I believe I am.
Oh.
I really believe I am. And yeah. Like I was telling him, I mean, like, if there is one, I have an issue with him. We're gonna have words.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of shit
in
the world.
It won't be that way on Judgment Day.
There's a lot of shit in the world that shouldn't be here. I'm more than content than burning hell. I'm more than content with this, but I'm going to say my view to him.
Have you ever been in court?
Oh, many, many, many times.
If you go before a judge, you don't get to say what you want.
Yes, contempt is me, brother. Contempt is me.
It's not. When you go before God, you're going to be on your face, either destroyed or received in reverence.
Yeah, I'm saying I'll probably be destroyed in a pile of goo.
What I would challenge you to do, is look at the creation and figure out who created it, and then I would tell you Jesus is the creator, right, brother?
Oh yeah. I'm not going to say we're alien sperm donors, man.
Are you going to say Jesus is a liar? Jesus said,
No, Jesus was a carpenter who lived in fucking Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. Okay, I'm a carpenter now.
You didn't die and resurrect.
No, I did not. I wish I could.
You didn't create the world.
No, I did not. Yeah. I do not. My Father is not the whole heavenly.
We hope you humble yourself and seek truth, because if you do, because atheism is a religion. You have a faith. You believe in something. We believe in Christ. You believe in nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, exactly. You're completely right.
There you go. Yes, so we want you to believe in Christ. So study.
You want me to believe in afterlife. I don't see it. My family does.
It's all who
believes with me. I have three preachers in my family. I'm the black sheep. It is what it is. I have to face my loss of human.
Well, sir, I would say that there's only one truth. There's only one up. There's only
Amen.
One down.
There's only one truth.
There's only one sky.
That is
true. There's only one ground.
That's true.
So who is God?
And the truth is, religion is made to control the weak and powerless.
Well, we're not talking about that. Would be man-made religion,
exactly.
And we agree.
We don't belong to that. Yes, I fully believe that.
We don't belong with that.
If I met you guys 10 years ago, I might have jumped on the bus.
Don't let the world exactly. And your experiences sway you.
Exactly. And that's
I used to be right where you are.
Yep.
I used to be right where you are in the world.
Too. It's the world.
The spirit and the truth of God can transform you, right?
Now look, my wife is precisely trying to get me to do this for 20-something years now, huh, baby? Yeah.
Yep. Go deep. See who the creator is. It's Christ.
All right.
We love you, neighbor.
Goodness, righteousness, and truth. And you have to keep striving and enduring in that to the end. That's the gospel. Accepting Jesus in your heart, there's no. You're not saved right now. Did you know that?
I think I am.
If you actually are in Christ and you have been born again, do you say you've been born again?
I know for a fact, actually, that if I were to die right now, I'd go to heaven.
How do you know that?
Because I know that Jesus is my Lord and Savior.
Yeah, but the devils believe in trembling. Here's the point. You're not saved right now. You have the hope of salvation. We do in Christ if we continue in enduring the faith. Tell me, are you walking in all holiness and obedience to God's word and nature?
No, but I try to.
The Bible says you must put on holiness, that which no man will see God.
Yeah.
See, if you're disobeying God's word right now, do you know something you're doing is a sin that you're doing? No, but the Bible says there's no sacrifice for willful sin. See, we don't believe in sinless perfection. We all have a flesh nature. But if you know something is wrong and sinful and against God's word, you keep doing it, that's willful sin.
Yeah.
That's you choosing your sin. There's no sacrifice.
Yeah.
Jesus isn't going to forgive that sin. That sin's going to damn your soul.
Yeah.
So if you're doing things that are in disobedience to God's word right now, why do you think you're going to heaven?
Who says I was doing something that's disobedient
to
God's word?
Okay.
Wait, you just admitted you live in sin.
Did I?
Yeah.
I don't remember saying that.
You just said it. I just heard you say it.
I didn't say it. I didn't answer the question.
He said, have you repented of all your sin? And you said no.
I asked you if you're living in all holiness and you said no. So it means you know that there's things you should be. The Bible also says, to him that knoweth to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. Can I help you? Do you know that the gospel of Jesus Christ calls you out of the world? What does that mean?
It says come don't out of, live worldly.
Yeah,
what is the world?
What's worldly?
Basically, like, everything to do with, like, culture and stuff.
So have you come out of that? Sports? Politics?
Does TV that fall into it?
Of course. Is it of the world or of God's kingdom?
Well, everything.
Okay, let me help you. There's two kingdoms that God's word teaches us about. There's the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Light, truth, holiness, spirit and truth. It's righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit of God, okay? It's what God ordained, what God made, and what holiness in the Spirit of God through Jesus Christ is. Then there's the other kingdom, the kingdom of Satan, the god of this world. Lies, darkness, the culture and everything you see. Now you discern here. Is sports of God's kingdom and the Spirit of God and holiness what God ordained through his word, or is it of the world, the flesh, and Satan's kingdom?
It depends on if you're putting sports before Jesus.
No. What sports? Where does it come from?
Sports come from...
Does it come from God or from man?
Did God create man?
God created man to live upright, but man has sought out many inventions, the Bible says.
Yeah, but God created man. Man created other things.
Where does sports come from? The flesh or the spirit? It
comes from man.
The flesh. The world. Satan's kingdom.
What about is it pride sports, though, is a sin?
Covetousness.
Pick one. Pick a sport.
Pick
NFL.
A sport.
The football. Super Bowl's coming up. Mm-hmm. What's the Super Bowl about?
You tell me, what's the Super Bowl about?
About football.
Okay, is it prideful?
If you make it to be prideful.
Is it, no, the Super Bowl, is it covetous? Is it about money? Is it immodest? Is it about eating and drinking?
It depends on your own
No,
ego.
No, no, what, the
we're,
thing
we're
itself.
We're not young football people, so we're
well,
no, but we're just showing you. Sports are not of God's kingdom. If you cannot see that it's not what God ordained, that it's not what God's... Okay, pride and vanity. The Bible calls pride and vanity an abomination. Do you believe that killing a baby in the womb like abortion is an abomination to God?
Yes.
That's an abomination. Shedding of innocent blood.
Yes.
Do you believe that being homosexual and doing that stuff is an abomination to God?
Yes.
Pride and vanity is an abomination. The Bible says that a proud look is an abomination to God. You go to the gym and work out to look good. You paint yourself up with makeup. You want to look good. You dress nice to look good. That's an abomination, just like killing a baby and just like being homosexual.
We're supposed to lower ourselves, not lift ourselves up.
Yeah, so when you brought up that gym, my church does talk about that, about prideful, but if you look at it as a way, and this is what I do, if I look at it as a way as like honoring God and thanking God for what I have, why is that now?
Can you honor God by disobeying what he said?
How is that disobeying him?
What did God tell you to do? In the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you're born again and you're living holy, whose are you? Your own or God? Okay, who commands what you do? You or God? If you take up the stake and follow Jesus Christ, you said it, pick up your cross and follow him, deny yourself. Are you doing what you want to do or what God calls you to do?
Okay.
So do you believe the Bible is the word of God?
Yes.
You believe that it teaches us the way of salvation?
Yes.
So where in the Bible can you open up and find God's instructing me to go do this?
To be worldly. To dress in pride.
To go to the gym.
To show off.
We're
just talking. We're talking in general about the American church system. We'll talk because you mentioned church system. The American church system is worldly in general because it is part of the culture. It's often involved in politics. It's involved in sports. It's involved in pride and vanity. He's probably going to go there real quick. So the Bible, if you say you're not your own, the Bible actually tells you how to dress and tells women to cover their heads. To not do that is disobedience to God. That's just one small example. It tells you how to dress, and the culture and the church system is not teaching you how to. It tells women to cover their heads with a veil, so it's a sign to the angels. People don't do that. They're following the culture, and James 4 says if you follow the culture and you're a friend of it, you're actually an enemy of God.
Like all of those things that you have to order your life. Just one more thing. I love you. I care for your soul. What was your name?
Alex.
I'm Zealous. This is my brother Tukos and my brother Kuo. Okay? I love you. I care for your soul. In all things, God's word teaches us how to be holy. Did you know that God's word even teaches men that having a long hair is a shame?
Is it?
Hey, brother. We're talking about
that. Bible says it's such a shame for long men to have long hair. God says it's shameful for a woman not to have her head covered. That's why my wife covers her head. Oh, sorry, that was Torah law. Okay, we are in the new covenant in Christ. We don't keep Torah law. That's why, like, your church probably uses musical instruments in worship. That's not the New Testament. That's not what Christ is.
That's not the New Testament.
Because the king is known by his fruit. Yeah. See, you can't worship God by doing things that God says don't do.
Yeah.
It's just like a stripper in a nightclub saying, how do you know what's in my heart if I'm doing that? That's a graphic example. You go, come on, that's totally sinful. You can't do that. But all sin is deadly. Okay, the wages of sin is death.
You know what might help them here, this young couple? How many sins did it take Adam and Eve to get thrown out of the garden? One sin that you keep and hold to and keep doing is going to keep you out of the kingdom of God. Even though Jesus came and shed his blood, you still, if you hold on, this is sin if I hold on to it versus casting at his feet, it's on me. And the churches I go back to, what church do you go to?
I go to Heritage Baptist.
Baptist. So a Baptist church is invented in the 1600s, keeps the pagan things like Christmas, Easter, Good Friday, that are Roman Catholic inventions. Most of the people there will have TVs or watch movies. They'll be watching sports, be involved in politics. What they are is, real quick, I feel like the Lord wants me to tell you this. They're cultural Christians. They're not biblical Christians. Explain the difference, brother.
So here's the difference, okay? A biblical New Testament saint, a biblical Christian, follows the Bible. Your life is not conformed to the culture. Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells us, don't be conformed to this world. You don't follow the culture, you follow God's word. Everything in your life is tested to God.
This is a man-made tradition. This is a man-made tradition.
What is, sir?
What you're doing right now.
No, Jesus said go and preach the gospel.
He didn't say make signs.
Oh, no. We don't have to have signs.
So
we don't have
there's
to.
There's no difference.
So a man-made tradition is not sinful unless it goes against God's word.
Okay, so gathering in churches and worshiping and listening to a message, it doesn't go against God's word either.
Okay, so depending upon what you're talking about, true saints gathering together and listening to a message is not sinful. Well, what we would stand against is, ready, they call Sunday the Lord's Day. It's not the Lord's Day. Bible never teaches that anywhere. They've adopted...
Every church doesn't.
Well, most of the evangelical ones do. The Roman Catholics do.
We happen to gather on Sunday because that's the tradition going all the way back to the first century.
Which is a man-made tradition, which they've adopted of God. But going back to the building, calling it the church... Did you go over the gospel with us?
I didn't.
I know the gospel.
What is the gospel? Tell it to us.
I know the gospel.
What is it? Why don't you share it with us?
I know the gospel.
Why don't you share it with us? Let's prove it. The Bible says prove all things.
You're an idiot, first of all.
Really?
Second.
I'm an idiot?
The gospel is that Jesus...
I don't want to hear
God
it now, because if you're calling God's people an idiot, that means you have no discernment.
You're God's people and we're not.
You have no discernment, and I can tell that you're a mocker against the truth of God.
Oh, you can't handle the truth. That's the problem.
You can't block the whole time.
Actually, we're just standing here, and we're going to be moving on, okay? Thank you, sir.
I hope you actually
we're
have
done.
An encounter with the God.
We'll go this way. I'll go back over by Brother's house.
That's another lie the church has. Tithing, giving money, selling things of God's money is a lie. So let me get back to you. There's five things that God's word ordains for the saints that are blood-bought and in Christ to do. Five. Okay? One, you eat and you sleep and you do the necessary and you drink and you do the necessary functions that God ordained you to do.
I'm going to go down here. Oh, she's done.
Work. Proper job that's good for your food to support and nourish yourself. If you don't work, you don't eat, okay?
Yeah.
Three, fellowship and study the word of God, edify the brethren, root yourself in the faith. Four, you go forth and you do ministry to proclaim the gospel. Five, if all these things tire you down and you need it, you will go into God's creation, you will pray, you will read God's word, and you will rest and restore. That's it. You don't go to the gym, you don't go to the movies, you don't go have fun, you don't entertain and titillate your flesh, because that's not God's kingdom.
We're slaves. We're slaves to Christ. We're doulos. We're to his service.
See, Jesus died. You're not in a relationship with Jesus. Do you believe that you have a personal relationship with Jesus? See, that's another lie that the church is
teaching. How can you say that's a lie?
Because here's the difference. The Word of God never talks about a personal relationship with Jesus. A relationship between you and me is different, it's changing. Everybody's got a different relationship with everyone else. God's Word teaches you have a blood covenant with Christ. God's Word never talks about a relationship, it talks about a covenant. You understand what a covenant is?
Are you guys married?
No.
Okay.
Okay, you hope so one day. So one day they want to be married and you'll be in a marriage covenant with each other.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the difference. A relationship before you're in a marriage is a covenant. versus just a fluid relationship. A relationship, you get to know another, it's changed, it's fall apart, it's different between people. A covenant, my wife and I, committed to one another, there's standards, there's rules, there's order. That's the difference. You don't have a relationship with Jesus. If you're in him, you're in a blood covenant. A covenant would be more like a contract. Okay? It has standards, rules, regulations, guidelines. God's word is the standard. Jesus Christ and his blood, you enter. If you sin, you disobey, you break your covenant. You must repent and put that away to be in the covenant, okay? You have, that's the difference. A covenant and a blood covenant is rigid. It's standard. It doesn't change over time. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change every 50 years of culture. His covenant is the same. The word is the same. God is the same. And the covenant and the standard is the same. And the culture changes all of that continuously. Cultural Christianity keeps changing.
We're studying through the book of Revelation right now, and at the end of the book of Revelation, about eight times through the book, it says overcome. It means to conquer. You got to conquer. You got to overcome. That's why it's dangerous to say, I know I'm saved today, I'm going to heaven. We can have the hope of it today, but we got to endure. Jesus says, to those who overcome, I will give the crown of life. You know what that means? That means, in Revelation 12:11, this is one of my favorite verses, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, that's the gospel, the word of our testimony, what God has done in our life, and we love not our lives unto death. We have given up our lives already. If you marry her one day, she's going to give her life up for you, and you're going to give her life up for her. We have given our lives up for Christ, and he says, if we overcome, then, faithful unto death, he says, then you get the crown of life. So you got to look at, like when you get married, that it's a race you're in that you got to finish and you're not there. Your job, you got to show up every day to get the paycheck. And so this faith system is teaching people, not just go to church and you're in no matter what, we're all going to sin. You know, you're like the world, it doesn't matter. We're telling you, the church system standard is right here. You know where the New Testament God standard is?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's way high. I'm sure you see a lot of hypocrisy in your church system.
Yeah, I see a lot of
worldliness, carnality. That's because that's not the people of God. This is the people of God that have lost their life to come out and follow him in spirit and truth.
Let me ask you with something. You know what church means? You read church in the Bible. Do you know what the word actually means in the Bible? It's the Greek word ekklesia. You know what it means?
No.
The called out ones. The church and the body of Christ are the called out, blood-bought, set-apart saints of Jesus Christ that are walking in holiness and obedience. Not a building, not a denomination, not a system. That's not church. That's man-made denomination.
Yeah, all those things have been added on. If you look at the Baptist faith and our website, you took a gospel card, right?
No, I didn't.
Oh, here. On our website, don'tperish.com.
Same gospel.
Yes, same website. We have a 10-point test, and we walk all through this stuff. God did away with the building system. Man brought it back. God did away with one priest doing everything. Man brought it back with a guy behind a pulpit. God had a Sabbath in Saturday. Christ became our Sabbath rest. The Sabbath was gone away. Do you know who made Sunday the new Sabbath day? The Roman Catholics. And the Roman Catholics handed it down to the evangelicals. And when the Baptists left the evangelicals, they took it with them. Like Christmas, like Easter, like Good Friday, that are actually lies. Those aren't even God. Those aren't even holidays that God ordained. Jesus didn't even die on Friday. I have articles on all this at the teaching blog. So you got to really question yourself.
And all that's on the website.
Yeah, on a website, on the teaching blog stuff. Yeah, you can email us. We'll Bible study with you. We don't want your money. We all support ourselves. We will encourage you to go deep.
What do you guys do as a job? If I can.
As a what?
As a job.
Okay, I'll answer. Ready? So yeah. I worked my whole life for 40 years. I'm retired and I fund myself because
yeah.
I saved and I sold everything I own. I live in a van, a camper van, and my wife and I travel around and we do this. I had a beautiful homestead in central Missouri that I could have sat on, lived out the rest of my days in comfort and peace, hunting and fishing. But guess what? Would I ever meet you guys if I did that?
No.
So I sold it all and I fund myself. My brother could tell you what he does.
I work in construction. I work 6 months out of the year. We save up our money, read fruit, and then we go forth to do the ministry.
Yep. And he's also a van dweller. And then Brother Kuo.
Oh, yeah. I work all sorts of jobs. I just got out of a 12-hour overnight shift working in a manufacturing. Yeah. So
you guys are from here?
No.
I'm from Canada.
Canada?
We're originally.
I can hear an accent.
We're from the Midwest.
Yeah, okay.
But now we live in our vans and we travel all over and we preach all over. And we're imploring people because judgment's coming. See, the Jesus of the American church system is not the little baby in the manger. The Jesus, the long hair with the blue eyes and the love, 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 that is not the Jesus of the Bible.
But that's the Jesus of most Baptist churches, non-denoms, evangelicals. And the fruit, what we're really concerned with is, we come out here, the fruit, you're standing here talking, so we have great hope for you. I see there's some fruit in you. Most people, 99% that say we go to church, you know what we get from them? We got it. And they go, we know Jesus.
I'm always trying to learn more.
Yeah, and we go, why don't you tell us the gospel? And they go, don't have to, and they walk away. So seek truth, but here's where I'd warn you. Don't go looking in religious systems. Don't go looking online with people that don't live it. Go to the Word of God and then test everything you do to the Word of God, including the Baptist faith. I've got an article that says, are you Baptist or biblical?
What would you recommend, though? Like, because obviously there's all different, translations of the Bible.
Yeah.
What would you recommend?
So here's what I would tell you. We as a body, we use the King James Bible.
King James.
But it has some translation issues. It's not perfect. It's a translated word into English.
Yeah, so
look at the Greek.
I'm learning Hebrew right now.
Okay.
And I'm trying to.
Okay, so that's good. I mean, learning it, I'd say, is one thing. The only reason I think you should learn, if someone should learn Hebrew, is if you're going to go and use it somewhere for ministry. But what we use is a concordance. And that where scholars tell you what that word means, and you can cross-check it with other scholars. And it's like I say, line up 100 Chinese people. I can prove this. Ready? Line up 100 Chinese people that don't know each other. Ask them how to say the word apple in Chinese.
Yeah, okay.
Let's say xunchua. And we go, how about you? Xunchua. This guy, xunchua. It's xunchua in Chinese. But if we get 80 different answers, now we got a problem.
Yeah.
But so you look at the Greek scholars, and they'll tell you. And I want to give you an example from the King James Bible. 1 Timothy 2:9. The Bible says that the women dress in modest apparel. What is modest today? You're a young man. It's probably, you've seen a change in maybe your short life. I'm an old man. Modesty has gone through. It's changed.
Yeah.
It actually in the Greek means neat, orderly dresses. You see how that makes a big difference? Neat, orderly dresses. And God dressed us. He shed blood in Genesis 3 and put us all in long coverings so that we could cover ourselves up, because now man has a proclivity to what? Look and lust.
Yeah.
And God says, you're my creation. Cover yourself up. So that's just another small example of what the churches and the cultures aren't teaching. So I would encourage you to use a King James Bible. There is an app called, it's not Takarta anymore. What's it called? Life Bible?
I think
we were using Takarta. It's a good, but don't read the commentaries, because here's the problem. The commentaries are written by evangelical men following evangelical Christianity. Read the word. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you. He's the best teacher. Then look at the Greek and the Hebrew and find out what the real meaning is.
So I see that you have a phone. What do you guys think of phones? Because I'm hearing like a bunch of different things. I'm like phones and stuff. And like some Christians.
Like you mean as far as they evil? Are they wicked?
Yeah.
Okay. So I have guns. I used to hunt.
I have guns.
So okay. So is a gun a tool?
Yeah.
Can I shoot a deer and feed my brother and my family with it?
Yes.
Could I take it to Walmart and blow people away with it?
Yes.
So is the gun evil?
So you're saying it's how you use it.
Yeah, so the gun's not evil, right?
No.
Okay, so if you ask me what I do with my phone, because we hear this a lot. Oh, you're worldly, you have a phone. Well, let's judge worldliness by the spirit and truth of God. So I drive a van that's of the world. Is there anything sinful about a van?
She's leaving me. I'm going to have to go.
Is there anything sinful about a van?
No.
No. So the phone, like you said, is a tool. Don't watch porn. Don't watch movies. Don't watch the cult. Watch the culture. Use it for the word of God.
Yeah, it's
and put everything through the filter of God. So email us.
I appreciate you guys talking to me.
I appreciate it. I just want to give you one warning in love, because I do love and I do care for your soul. Don't follow a woman more than you follow Christ.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
I hope not. You can email us. We'll Bible study. We'll love you. We'll share God's truth.
We see a lot of men led away by women.
I love her, but I love Jesus more.
Yeah, good. Follow and obey him. Let us know how we can help you.
Yeah.
Hey, that's the guy. I saw your shirt from behind a long time ago. I'm glad we got to witness to you. You got away. Good job. Glad you got to witness to him. I saw his shirt way down the street. What does it say?
Jesus saves.
He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah. Awesome.
That
praise
was
God.
Really good witness. Yeah, just...